Welcome to Ancient Future Faith with Dr. Chris Alford, pastor of Epiclesis, an ancient future faith community in Sacramento. Just what is ancient future Christian faith? Join Chris each week as he talks with special guests about a refreshing renewal in evangelical worship and spirituality that's helping many believers get in touch with their ancient Christian heritage. Now, with another look at how the road to the evangelical future runs through the ancient past, here's Dr. Chris Alford.
Well, hi there, folks, and welcome back to another edition of Ancient Future Faith. My name is Chris Alford, and I'm the pastor of Epiclesis, an ancient future faith church in Sacramento, California. We bring you this program each week on KFIA Radio, and we talk about this thing called Ancient Future Faith. What in the world is it? As always, I love to encourage folks to zip over to our website. That's epiclesis.org, spelled E-P-I-C-L-E-S-I-S.org. Today's program is no exception. We have a wonderful guest on the line, all the way from Charlotte, North Carolina, Dr. Diane Collard. Diane, hi, and welcome back. It's good to have you back.
Thank you, Chris. I look forward to this.
As we were talking just before we went on the air there, you reminded me, although I don't need a reminder, that you have a lot of hats that you wear. You are a wife and mom and grandmother and a missionary for 31 years and an intercultural trainer for 25 years. You are an international speaker and writer and author, and so many hats you wear. We kind of had a hard time thinking about which one of those we want to focus on today, didn't we?
We did, but I think anything we talk about in that area, I'll be delighted to speak to.
Diane, just for half a minute, I wished you would bring us up to speed on you. Tell us a little bit about you. Folks may remember our previous conversations, but in case they did not tune into those broadcasts, just spend a minute or two talking about you and what makes you tick.
Well, I have been a missionary for now almost 32 years, and God gave us a burden for the world, especially Europe, a number of years ago. I also have a passion to enter a person, especially as we'll talk about an artist's life and walking along with them in their life journey, one step closer to the Savior. I also am the Europe Director for Artists in Christian Testimony and the director and founder of an organization called Arts Charlotte.
Diane, along the way, and one of the ways that I first met you some time ago was through a remarkable book, and though we are not going to necessarily talk about it this time, I do want folks to be on the lookout for the marvelous book on forgiveness that Diane wrote called I Choose to Forgive, An Intimate Journey with God. And it was through that remarkable, tragic experience, but the wonderful things that God did with that afterwards, that introduced you in some ways to a whole new direction in life, and one that was, I think, probably, I don't want to put words in your mouth, but probably even surprising to you, and that was the world of the artists, art and the arts. And so now you find yourself as a mentor, as it were, an encourager to artists, and are very much involved in the art and faith movement. Talk to us at least briefly about what led you to this surprising, wonderful new world.
God has a way of entering your life in ways and at times you never expect. I had no background in art, and yet God chose to use art, abstract art of all things, to speak of himself and to promise me that he could make something beautiful of my life after the murder of my son. I was in despair. I didn't think I could go on living, and yet God clearly said that he could bring beauty out of this brokenness. And in addition, he began my healing in that encounter with him. But in addition, he gave me a new calling, and that was to find and encourage artists. I didn't know any artists. I didn't know why they needed to be encouraged, and I certainly didn't know how to do it. So I've spent the last 25 years working out that calling, and that's what brings me to where I am today.
Well, there's one story I'm remembering, Diane, about how along the way you had shared this journey and this very difficult time in your life, and someone in the audience heard that and repeated it at another workshop at which you were present. Can you just zip through that story just to give people some context? Because I think that's one of the miracles in your life, as far as I'm concerned.
Well, it certainly was a confirming experience. I had this experience in the Modern Art Museum of Vienna with God, in the room with the abstract art where he spoke of himself and began this healing. But because it was so outside my norm, I didn't know how to talk about it or tell anybody. But I started going around all of Europe trying to find artists and just listen to them. Just listen to their story, their struggles, their journey, how they felt rejected at times, even by the church. And my heart was broken. And I never spoke publicly of my experience in that art gallery. But almost 8 or 9 years afterwards, I was in a conference in Budapest, Hungary, and I asked to sit in with the artist in this conference. They were having an arts track. And after a week of listening to their hurt, their pain, their feelings of alienation and loneliness, I asked to speak. So I shared my experience. I begged them not to give up on the church, nor to give up on God, that God had a purpose in their gift, had a purpose for the world, but also for me, a person who is not an artist, to be able to experience the full sensory expression of worship. I needed them to express their creative gift. And I sat down feeling kind of foolish and didn't think anything more about it. It was 7 years later, I was in another conference, and a woman was speaking whom I did not know or remember, and she gave her personal testimony that the reason that she was serving God with her creative gift was because of an anonymous grieving mother in Budapest, Hungary in 2001.
Wow.
And gave my testimony word for word. It was so confirming that it was God's message, God's plan, and that I just had to trust in Him.
Folks, I want to encourage you to get a hold of that book called I Choose to Forgive, An Intimate Journey with God. And Diane, we should say that it is going to be re-released and expanded here in the next few months from Whip and Stock. Hey, will you come back on the air and let's talk about the book when it's re-released? Because I'd love folks to...
It would be my pleasure, Chris.
Oh, good. In the meantime, folks, that's a remarkable story. Fast forward a bit, though, and Diane finds herself working with and encouraging, identifying even artists who might consider themselves Christian, or perhaps not, I don't know, I want to ask you about that, but have worked with or were working or hoped to work in a Christian context, but found that the Christian world wasn't always so understanding or welcoming. Do I have that part right?
Yes, that's right. In fact, I did my doctoral dissertation to find out why the church had alienated its artists, specifically its visual artists. And so all of my research for my dissertation was just to find out the answers to that.
Folks, you're listening to an interview with Dr. Diane Collard. She's a friend from Charlotte, North Carolina. She is the Europe Director for Artist and Christian Testimony International. She's the Director of Art Charlotte, which I'd like to speak about both of those things if we have the time, Diane. She's also a friend of our church, Epiclesis, an ancient future faith community that sponsors this program called Ancient Future Faith. And I'm certain that our conversation today is going to weave in the notion of ancient future faith because Diane is working very closely, among other things, with artists and artists who want to be a part of the church, who desire to work and create for the glory of God, but sometimes don't always find a welcome mat at the door. Diane, what in the world is Artist and Christian Testimony, and what is it that you do for them as the Europe Director?
Artist and Christian Testimony International is the only mission ministry agency that is only for artists, for creative, imaginative servants of God, to serve God both in U.S. and around the world. We have about 350 missionaries. Two-thirds of those are serving in the U.S. or North America somewhere, and the rest are scattered around the world. I have about 24 artists in every genre of the art who are in Europe just being who God made them to be, and being light and salt and a sweet aroma of Christ and sharing the gospel through their creative gifts in Europe. It's my pleasure to encourage them more than direct them. I come alongside to pray for them, to help them set their goals and hold them accountable to those goals and just see what God does.
Diane, does the organization link you up with artists, or do they find you, or how does that work technically? How do you guys get linked up and partnered together?
Well, usually they contact us through the website, actinternational.org, and if they have any interest in serving in Europe at all, then I'm given their name and their contact info, and I follow up on them to answer their questions.
I'm curious about this phrase that I have seen on your list of accomplishments. One of the bullet points is spiritual mentor of artists. Talk a little bit about that role. What does that look like on a day-to-day or week-to-week basis? How do you go about spiritually mentoring artists?
I found that the first thing I do is listen. I listen to their spiritual journey. I listen to where they are, what they're facing in life. Artists of all kinds experience so much rejection. It's hard to keep going. It's lonely. They may be in their studio alone. They may be sitting with their guitar writing a song by themselves. And just to listen to them is where I start. And when you show interest, I have found I don't even have to say I'm a missionary or I'm anybody special at all, because I'm not. I just show interest and say, I'd like to encourage you. How may I do that? I start getting calls. I get calls from gallery owners. I get calls from individual artists saying, I need someone to talk to. I think I can trust you. Can we meet? And that's where it begins. And like I say, my joy is to then enter their life, walk with them one step closer to the Savior.
Diane, we've talked about this before, but it's fascinating to me. I would think as a pastor, I'm all the time searching the landscape, scouring the horizon, looking for artists and creative types to enhance worship and be involved with what we're doing at Epiclesis. But that's not the case everywhere, as I'm learning from you. What are some of the reasons that the church in general has not embraced artists in general? Talk with us a little bit about that.
My dissertation was done in Europe, but I think it's validated here in the U.S. as well. The number one reason that visual artists had not been embraced by the church or supported was a theological reason. It was an application of post-reformational theology that brought into question the value of the image. And it was an interpretation of Exodus 20 that rejected the visual image as being able to be glorifying to God. The second was tradition. They just hadn't ever thought about how to do it. The third was pastors didn't know how to embrace and encourage artists. And the fourth was, which always gets a chuckle from my artist friends, is that artists are problematic people and pastors don't know how to work with them. Now, we know we can all be problematic, you know. Are we problematic by nature or because of being godless? What is the reason for that? Yeah. But generally, I think we lost something so precious, at least in the Protestant and evangelical church, when we forgot that from the very first century, the visual, through symbol, through different forms of art, was a part of the Christian church and has been used to the glory of God. We're not to worship it, but it can be that which brings glory to God.
Oh, indeed. Folks, I have on the line with me today somebody who wears a lot of hats, but my favorite one is my friend, and I'm glad that Dr. Diane Collard is on the line with me today from Charlotte, North Carolina. I mentioned earlier, Diane, that you have formed something called Arts Charlotte. You're the director of that organization. Tell us just a little bit about what's happening with Arts Charlotte. What are you guys doing over there?
Arts Charlotte exists to nurture the soul of our city through the arts.
We do it
in three major ways. One is encouragement of artists, both in their excellence, in their craft, and encouraging artists in their walk with God. The second is education. Too many artists, even those who are artists of faith, do not know where their creative gifts, where it comes from, what God intends, what God says about creativity. And it's also, we seek to inform the church on what the role of the arts, how God views the arts. And the third is engagement. We engage in the culture of Charlotte in every way we can through the arts, in any way that will bring a positive impact on our city, whether it be in racial reconciliation, community, art events. There's just numerous ways. We have writers, we have performing artists, we have visual artists, we have every form of the arts who are seeking to be God's people in a very intentional way in the city of Charlotte.
Diane, what do your weekly or monthly activities look like? Are you sponsoring things where people get together? Do you have a staff? Tell me a little more about the nuts and bolts of what is it that you're doing on an ongoing basis.
So far, I have a core team. We've had some move away, so I have a core team of just five. We're praying for others to come. We've divided up into communities. That's not geographic, it's artistic affinity. So on a monthly basis, our visual arts community would gather together, or our writers would gather, or performing artists, and they would gather, and they do a variety of things. They may do their art, they may share and talk about their art, they may visit some place that would enhance their understanding of their art, but that's on the more grassroots level. We also do gatherings, and that's when we bring artists of every type together. We had one last Friday night. It was so exciting. The whole purpose was to highlight how artists are being used to make a positive impact on our city. And we had people involved in the arts in lower economic parts of our city with children, with developmentally disabled adults. We had writers who are working in various ways to bring literacy and to bring highlighting disabled children in story form. We had a guest from the New York City Ballet who is seeking, this lovely young man and his wife, who is seeking to be God's people in the New York City Ballet and bring encouragement to those dancers. So we had every kind of art present there, sharing for just 8 minutes at a time, but it was powerful to realize the power of the art.
Yeah. You know, you and I have talked before about this particular issue, and it continues to be confounding to me, and I have asked you for advice on it before. We did a series, for example, at Epiclesis on how God views the arts and the artists, and how ultimately, because we are created in the image of a creator God, we are all artists. What would you say to the person out there listening who says, yeah, I'm a child of God, I'm a Christian, but I'm no artist? What do you say to somebody like that? Because I'm sure you hear that.
Well, I not only hear it, I say it. I would change that a little bit, because in our culture, artists, the meaning, the connotation of artist is that you're producing something in a particular art form.
Yeah.
We are all creative. Mm. We are all blessed by the Creator God to be creative in our relationships, to be creative. I consider myself creative in the way I present my meals, in the way I set up my home. My creativity comes out in other ways than an artistic some sort of art, you know, particular form. But I agree with you that God intends for us all to use our imagination.
Yeah.
He intends for all of us to express ourselves in intentionally creative ways. All of us have that ability. We just have to allow God to show it and have nerve enough to try it, to use it.
Well, folks, if you're out there and thinking, I'm no artist, Diane is suggesting that we don't get hung up on the word artist and think about it in terms of spiritual imagination and creativity. You are creative.
Right.
You are creative. You were created in the image of a creator God. And one of the things that Diane Collard is doing is helping people make those connections. Diane, in our remaining moments, I wanted to focus on one particular phrase that you have written about yourself, and that is that you are a speaker and writer and thinker, not only when it comes to forgiveness, we've talked about the book and creative folks in the church, artists and other creative folks in the church, but also you're doing a lot of thinking and talking about what you call the nexus of arts and faith. I don't mean to put you on the spot, but maybe I do a little bit anyway. I'm going to pick your brains a minute. What's happening at the nexus of art and faith these days? What are you seeing there where those places combine and touch and overlap?
There's the personal nexus of how God uses the arts to speak to our soul. The arts speak, as Robert Onwe said, in sensations too subtle for words.
Ah.
It reaches deeper than the word at times. And so there's that personal nexus. There's also the nexus of what God is doing through his creative servants to in a missional way to build the kingdom. We're seeing throughout the world artists being energized to serve God through their artistic gifts. We're seeing churches being started. We see people expressing themselves in worship in ways that bring beauty and healing to our world. I do a quarterly, tried it monthly, didn't keep it up, but a quarterly coffee shop talk. And we bring, people can come together, we sit around a table, I have some quotes to discuss, and we just talk about, does faith have anything to do with art? Does my artistic gift have anything to do with how I express my faith? And it's interesting the answers I get at times. But I think God does not see those as separate. He sees them inherently intertwined to be expressed to his glory.
It's so beautifully said. Folks, I have a treat for you, at least a potential treat. Diane said today before we came on the air that she and her husband, Glenn, may be coming to our neck of the woods sometime this spring. And I want you to be on the lookout for that. Diane, we'll make sure to get you back on the air to talk about that. But one thing we didn't even get to today in our conversation is that a wonderful short film has been made about this amazing journey that brought Diane through despair and grief to a new place that has to do with this nexus of arts and faith, where now she is encouraging people about faith. And Diane, if you do come in the spring, I want to make sure we get out the word about that so folks can meet you and hear more from you about this kind of thing and also see this short film. Wouldn't that be wonderful?
I would love to share our short film called Abstraction with anybody who is interested in either the forgiveness journey or how God, the power of the abstract, how God uses abstract art to bring healing and glory to himself.
Diane Collard, it's always a treat and a pleasure to talk with you. Thank you so much for taking time today. I'm really grateful.
Thank you so much for having me.
Always a pleasure. Folks, that's been a conversation with Diane Collard. Hopefully, again, we're going to have her come this way in the spring with her husband, Glenn, who was also just recently on this program. They have a wonderful life of ministry and so much to share. But until we gather again for another edition of Ancient Future Faith, I really want you to be thinking about this. Surely the road to our evangelical Christian future does run through our ancient Christian past. Until next time, the Lord be with you.
Thank you for joining us for another look at Ancient Future Faith. There is a refreshing wind of renewal blowing through the evangelical church as more and more worshipers turn for inspiration to the rich language and pattern of the ancient church, and they're rediscovering classic Christianity and learning to draw strength from a deep well of time-tested truth and tradition. Want to experience Ancient Future Faith for yourself? Join us for worship at Epiclesis in Sacramento on Sunday mornings at 10:30 a.m. in the chapel at 4600 Winding Way. You can contact us by calling 916-572-9113 or online at epiclesis.org. That's 916-572-9113 or on the web at epiclesis.org.
Hi there, folks. Pastor Chris here with a little note to say that we're right in the middle of one of the best times of the whole Christian year. the celebration of Easter. In the ancient church, Easter was a season of rejoicing, not just a day, and the Easter season is a great opportunity to see what ancient future Christian worship at Epiclesis looks like. Find more information on the web at epiclesis.org. That's EPICLESIS.org. The Lord be with you, and see you next Monday afternoon at 4 p.m. for another edition of Ancient Future Faith.